I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this week, our text is from this first book of the book of Ephesians. And as we begin, let's think about what we know about Ephesians. It's a letter generally considered to be from Paul, though some scholars believe that it might not have been written by Paul because the style of writing is a little different than the other letters. But if it's not from Paul, it was at least likely from one of the disciples of Paul's. And the thought is a little more developed than earlier letters, so it's likely written later in the first century than earlier. And this letter might have been a circular letter, which means that the letter was passed from town to town. And the copy in scripture is identified with Ephesus. So what do we know about Ephesus? Well, it was located in the modern day Turkey, which is about 600 miles north of Jerusalem. During Paul's time, it was a very large city, maybe about 250,000 people. It had size, it had wealth, and it had power. It was a major city of trade along the sea, and the Temple of Artemis. Now, Artemis is known as the goddess of fertility, was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It had this incredible structure made of huge columns of marble. Now, Paul spent a lot of time in Ephesus working to convert Gentile non-believers to Christianity. And often these people worshipped Artemis and other gods. But Paul helped them to understand that there was only one God and that Jesus came to earth to love them and show them the way. So Paul healed the sick in the name of Jesus, and he also ruffled some feathers and spent some time in prison there. Now, the church of Ephesus is referred to many times in the Old Testament. It's in Acts and 1 and 2 Timothy and 1 Corinthians and Revelation. And this early church had many challenges, issues with false prophets and false doctrine and problems with pastors and lots of other things. So Paul writes this letter to them. Now, after the greeting, the verses 3 through 14, which is the rest of our lesson today, are considered Beraka. Now, Beraka is a Jewish blessing of praise or thanksgiving. How blessed is God? This is what God has done for us, was the message. And it's still used today. In fact, it could be used multiple times in the liturgy at a synagogue or before a meal. This whole lesson today is a Beraka, a blessing of praise of what God has done. And this is all good news. And we begin with the verse of the month today. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So when you say that each week, you can remember that that's a Beraka. Now, last week, if you were worshiping with us, you heard Dan Garcia interviewed about the paintings of the Trinity, which are in our entrance. In his talk with us, he talked about the need for limitations, and within these limitations, there was freedom to be creative. He illustrated this with thinking about going into a restaurant with a multi-page menu that you have to look through of all of the different items, and it can be overwhelming to settle on one thing. So often limits help us, and especially help us an opportunity for creativity. They provide opportunity. So this week, as I've been reflecting on our scripture and the message from last week, I spent a lot of time thinking about God's creativity and God's incredible design for our world. God had no limitations. If we think about the world and its terrain and the mountains and the hills and the valleys and the prairies, we think about the oceans and the rivers and the underground sources of water and the deserts and the glaciers, the minerals, the boulders, the gems, the movement of storms that we've had this past week that water our earth. And we have vast selections of plants, some that feed us, provide us food and medicines to heal, but others that don't and are poisonous. We have animals of every size and shape. This alone, when I'm thinking about creating all of this and coming up with the design, is overwhelming for my brain. So this letter describes us as part of God's plan before the foundations of the world. Before any of this existed, God included people as he considered the foundations of the world. And God wanted there to be love in this creation. And for that to happen, there needed to be relationship. And in order for God to show the depth of his love, God knew that God would need to come to this earth to live among the people and be willing to suffer to show them this love. This plan for Jesus to come to earth was not plan B, as some believe, but was God's plan A from the very beginning. This was God's intention. We are God's intention. And we start with this general truth that God created all people and loves them all from the very beginning. But there's also a distinction between people in general and those who trust this unfolding story of God and who recognize Jesus as God in the flesh. Paul uses the word adoption as a way for us to understand this close relationship with God. If we think about the people of Ephesus throughout this letter, it twice addresses the readers that they are told to no longer live as Gentiles. Now they are in Christ Jesus, which means that they are no longer aliens from the commonwealth of Israel or strangers to the covenant. They're no longer outsiders to this God whom the Jews know. They have been adopted into God's family, and as they become part of God's family, they experience a radical transformation of their identity. This being brought into God's family changes them. Let's look at this word adoption. Many of you may know someone who is adopted or has adopted a child, or you could be one of those who have been adopted or adopted a child. We have several people here at Zion who have been touched by this. Adoption is a very special, intentional way of bringing someone into your family. Now, when I was at Ohio State, I was studying to be a social worker years ago, and I had a field placement at Lutheran Social Services of Central Ohio. My placement was in the adoption department. So at first I started and watched what was done, but then it was my turn to step in, to talk to couples, to interview, to facilitate conversations and research and write home studies. I saw how parents had so much love that they wanted to share with the child that they were exploring this process of adoption. It wasn't like you wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'll adopt a child today and go and pick up a child and bring her home. No, this process takes months or years. There's a lot of paperwork. And there's a lot of red tape. And it's to make sure that it's a good home and a good fit. And it can be very expensive. Adoption is a very intentional process. And it doesn't mean that things always go smoothly or that life is happy ever after. We are imperfect humans in an imperfect world. But there is something about a parent's love and commitment when a child hears and understands, no matter what, I love you. When they hear, you are not a parenthesis in our family. You are fully a child of this family. And you will be part of all the joys and the struggles that it has and receive all the benefits and challenges of being part of this family. You know, it'd be really nice if parents could control the response of a child, but they can't. Just as God does not control our response, sometimes we are grateful and many times we are not. But parents can say over and over, I love you and you are precious to me, just as God says to us. This is what God is communicating. You have been brought into my family. I love you and you are mine, and everything I have is yours. The Message Bible puts it this way. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. That is us that God is referring to. Through adoption, we become part of God's family. Long before we knew what grace was about, long before we knew about the need for restoration of relationships, God was already setting things in motion. Long before we understood that God's love is eternal, it already was. And we understand this in our hearts. It changes our worldview. It changes how we live our lives and our priorities. It changes how we love and how we restore relationships that are broken. It changes how we find meaning and purpose in life. It means we no longer worry about dying because Christ, through Christ, we have inherited eternal life. There is nothing to fear. We are changed people because of God's love, because of what Christ has done for us. This past week, I pulled out a CD that had been sitting dormant for quite a while, and there was a song on it that I had not noticed before entitled Songs of Life, sung by Kim Keyes. And it really touched me, and I think it fits beautifully with our lesson today. So we're going to sit back and listen. Mandy, if you would play that for us. The words will be on our screen. May these songs of life move through the fabric of your life and my life. And may you hear God's words to you, how I love you, I'll never leave you, I give you everything I am. Amen.